Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Wild Card Command Radio. And getting in the fever, let's hear a little bit from Whiskey 6 and his words to the militia.
The American militia must, at this time, prepare itself for what is here, even now. Some of it is yet to come. Our founding fathers and their God-inspired wisdom, but it has. Let us stand together and honor our obligation to country and Constitution. Let us stand as men and women of a free republic. Let us prepare to do what I'm sure is unthinkable to some of you, but take up arms in defense of our neighborhoods, our families, and our country and Constitution. The incumbent administration has taxed us without representation, imposed medical care and the assorted fees without being duly authorized by the Congress of the United States. They've weakened the world's greatest military and undermined security of our nation, even now. We're on the cusp, the brink of World War III. Let's answer the call. Let's answer our duty and obligation. If there must be war, let it be here now. Acquiescence only emboldens those who subvert our countries. And there are many. The imported jihadists, the American-born jihadists, drug dealers, corrupt LEO, a government who no longer represents the people, but takes care of theirself and herself only. Let us win, lose, or draw, fulfill that obligation and be the Constitution's last line of defense and only hope at this point. God save this venerable republic. Maybe you'll let us help. Fix bayonets. Whiskey 6 out.
Well, thank you very much, Whiskey 6, and he should be back on in a few minutes there after we get started. This is part two, the brink of war. Those are some ominous words in there. And when you make those words ominous, it really is a shame in a nation such as this that the people of this nation are actually going to be forced to defend themselves from the people that they have elected to defend them. Got a caller in there of Whiskey 6. Would you like to say something this time? Looks like his phone's got him there. Let me go ahead and hold it down. What are we doing in this war? Like Custer said, one advantage to his position that he chose on top of that hill was that he could attack in any direction he so chose, just as long as he got all those people out of the way. We have the same thing. Against us out there, we have gangs. Now, when I say gangs, I'm not talking about the five guys down the street who don't like the five guys on the next lake. I'm talking about gangs like the guys with the blue bandanas, which call themselves Crips. We've got the guys with the red bandanas, who call themselves Bloods. We've got people in uniforms who call themselves the Black Panthers. We've got people in gangs from the immigrants, the Mexicans, the Latin Kings, the MS-13, which incidentally was, like a lot of these others, were trained and equipped by us down in El Salvador. We've got immigrants. How many? We don't know. Every night, boats land off the coast of Florida and South Carolina, dropping off people from Haiti. as many boats have landed off that coast. There shouldn't be anybody on Haiti, but there's still a whole bunch of people there, so we have to assume that they're just being quartered and forwarded. We've got immigrants coming across our southern border. Some of them speak Spanish, some of them don't. We've got immigrants coming across our northern border, and always have. We've got immigrants from the Far East, which are coming over to open up companies and do commerce in America. And the minute their employees find out that there's a better way to do this, they have to go and order some more employees. And they're coming in. Do they get a little green card? Mostly not. We've got UN troops. Now, in the past, I always thought all the UN troops were American soldiers that just told to put on a different patch. But now we got them all around in this nation. We got different languages. And then we got the alphabet agencies, Department of Homeland Security, FEMA. We got homegrown terrorists, people who see what's going on overseas and say, I'd like to do some of that here. And then, of course, we have what I refer to as the blue gangs. That's police forces with chiefs who are more interested in earning that FEMA and Homeland Security grant than they are in enforcing law and protecting the people as they swore their oath to do. And mercenaries. We saw that up in Oregon where we had a gentleman that just barely spoke English, but spoke a lot of French, running around pretending to be Homeland Security and FBI agents. So we have quite a few. We've got governments and contractors who have been promised land, promised this, promised that by the federal government. And to make sure that they get what they've been promised, some of their employees are really well trained, well armed, and well healed. But we outnumber them by about 1,000 to 1. All we have to do is get ourselves together. Now, when I say get together, I don't mean to go down to the club and have beer together. I mean we need to have our militias broken down the way they were intended. State militias. And I don't mean the one that the governor formed so he can have somebody, so he can say he controls the militias in his state and get his grant. I'm talking about the men and women that live on the street next to you, down the road, and up ahead. These are the militias I'm talking about. Now, to do that, you got to be able to do three things. One, we got to be able to talk to each other. I want to use North Carolina as a reference. In the state of North Carolina, we have a group called the North Carolina Citizens Militia. Haven't heard much from them lately. Seen a few of their dissenters running around on Facebook, page and note. We've got the 3%ers in a number of places. We got the U.S. Crow militias. But all of them talk to themselves. They train to themselves. They should be training together. They should be dividing this nation, this state up. Just as all the militias should be dividing all this country up, putting them into different districts, establishing orders of battle. Why? Because on the day they turn the electricity off, on the day that all the machines in front of the bank stop spitting out money when the card gets shoved in them, those militias are going to need to be out there, visible, and a turn to. In other words, the people down the blocks need to be able to go down to the local militia guy and say, hey, what are we going to do? How are we going to handle this? These are all things that are that you need to get going, because if we don't hurry, if we don't start training together, if we don't start getting on the same radio frequencies so we can talk to each other, if we don't start putting together ammunition drops that aren't just mine, but because I can only carry. If they come running through my neighborhood and we're forced to leave, everything I can't put in my pockets on my back belongs to them. And yours will belong to them also. So now's the time to start getting that ammunition cash. Good way to cash ammunition. Stop off at Lowe's, pick up a piece of 4-inch PVC. Why? Because you can seal one end, you can load it with bullets from front to back, you can seal the other end, you can open up that little hole on top of that septic tank and drop it in. And that should be there until you need it next. Right? It's important, ultimately important, that you also have out there food. And how are we going to do that? We're going to do that by organizing neighborhood protection teams. Now, throughout this world, militias work. We know they work. Our army was just about brought to a stop in Sauter with the Sauter militias. Philadelphia, we had elections results being reported while watching Black Panther stand in front of the polls to make sure no one got hurt. Every day we have veterans in Detroit that are standing on street corners with small radios to make sure that the kids can go to school and home without being beat up, robbed, sold drugs, stole and put into prostitution. And these things need to happen in every neighborhood. Because when I say the brink of war, that means it's already started. There's already people being shot in this war. There's already people being injured. There's people having their property burnt down around them. It just hadn't come to your neighborhood and mine yet. So we need to start identifying what we're going to protect. How big is your neighborhood? How big is your neighborhood protection team going to be? What's it going to hold? Who's it going to hold? Now's the time to make that determination. A good rule of thumb: if you're in an open area and without streets and everything close together, as far as you can walk with a 40-pound back in 10 minutes. I draw a line there. Beyond that, let somebody else do it. If you live in a neighborhood, take a street or take a couple blocks of a street and organize them. When there are other sales, you can expand from there. You got to find things, because when terrorists come and foreigners come, what they want to do is make the people cringe. To do that, they attack them not like soldiers, but like cowards. To identify targets, churches, malls, government buildings, anywhere that you would have a group of citizens come together. In your neighborhood, know where to turn the water on if someone turns it off. Know where to turn the electricity off in case there's a fire and water, or is it a flood or a water, and you're getting into the electrical before someone gets hurt. Know where the turnoff is for the gas in case you have a fire, you have some leaking, and they won't send anybody out. Know where to, how to clean water. All these things it's time to do now, because eventually you're going to have to do them in a hurry. And doing them in a hurry is not fun. People get hurt. Get your team started. And if your team can talk to the team in the next block, then you only have to guard one side of the block. If they can talk to the one down the street, you only have to do one portion. The more you have involved, the more hours of sleep you get. All these things are important to you right now, because on the brink of war does not mean that everybody is going to be able to grab that little bug-out bag, pop it in the back of the truck, grab the rifle, grab about 400 rounds or 1,000 rounds of ammunition, throw them in the truck, kiss the wife goodbye and tell her to take the kids and go to grandma's and zip off in the woods to play. I am a secret squirrel militia. Somebody's going to have to stand down the street. Otherwise, those guys are not going to leave to go out to that little rendezvous. They're going to stay to watch mama. Know who's on your block. Don't necessarily rule anyone out of your group. I've heard people say, well, I got an FBI agent. That's great. When the electricity stops and people start shopping at home, you know, someone else's home for food, that FBI agent is skilled with the use of a firearm. And he might have a whole bunch of stuff in the back of that car that you're going to need. That Homeland Security agent that lives on the next block, not only will he not be going down to the office to be a Homeland Security agent, but he's probably going to be helping you line up your defense. That's why Whiskey 6 says, when everything kicks off, disengage. Stop what you're doing. Secure your home, your family. Get everybody organized on the same sheet of music. Then, when everything's tight, then slide out in the covered night and be in that rendezvous point. But to know how to do that, you got to be able to talk. You got to be able to talk to everybody, not just one or two. Now, some good ways to learn how to do that, and I always advertise it for it. There's a website out there. We call it RAMSite. But the actual location on the net is www.militias, MILIIAS, .ning, NING, .com. Once you get on there, you get signed in. There is a thing called the Wizards Resource Center. In that resource center are 15 or 20,000 documents. Everything from FMs on special force and weapons caching, field surgery, replacement medicines, how to grow a garden. All these things are there. Most of them are in PDF form, and you can right-click them with your mouse button and save them to your desktop for a day when you don't have them up there. There's other places. Ameron, AMMRON. Put that in Google, it'll find it. They've got radio frequencies, and they got people right now today that are monitoring those radio frequencies. So on day one, you don't need to go and invent a channel. You got a place to put your radio. I encourage as many people as possible, get you a ham license, because you can't practice with that radio, these radios, unless you got a lot of frequency. Somebody that'll talk to you. Okay? You do have some free frequencies out there. FRS, Family Radio Service. They got about 14 channels. Seven numbers are part of GMRS, which is another type of radio, but you can still use them as long as you use them and don't interfere. You got Muir's Radio, multi-user radio service, four channels out there working the VHF band. But all this is up to you. You're the one who is going to be needed to do something to make it work. You get that ham license, you get on there with some other hams, you start learning things like how to build antennas. You can buy a $500 antenna, cubicle quad antenna, or you can go become a ham and they'll teach you how to make it out of bamboo and wire. And radio shows like this one are out there where you can go up and we try to teach what you're going to need. This is the second of four parts, and we're still trying to get the message to you. You've got to get started. It's your job.
But you have everything you look at, everything you see in militias are done by the people. That's who the militia is. It's every single man, woman between 17 and 60 who's automatically in the militia. As far as the federal government's concerned, they've been at war with you since 1932 when the last edition of the Trading with the Enemy Act was enacted by your elected congressman. And U.S. citizens were named as an enemy combatant. This isn't something new. This has been going on. This was planned. So now it's time for you to plan. Just as those people did in Sadr City and Iraq, you need to have every street lined. You need to know how to get from here to there. You need to know where the electrics is, how to turn off the lights, how to turn the lights on when it's inappropriate. And you got to be ready to defend your piece of that action. That's what the militias are here for. They're here to protect the rest of the people. Now, having said that, the rest of the people are still in the militia. You just don't know it. If you are a nurse, then you should, in your neighborhood, have identified a place, identify the resources that you need to set up an aid station. If you're a carpenter, you need to see what you're going to need to do to help them put up barricades. If you're a guard, if you're retired and just grow flowers in the front yard, that's fine too, because between each row of flowers you can put in some greens, something that you can turn into food. If you've got a great big Weber grill sitting in your backyard, how many hot meals can you turn off of that grill in a day to keep the people that are out there on the line guarding your property well fed? How many people do you know that have little rain barrels sitting up on the side of their house with water in them for when they turn the water off? And they will. The water comes to you because electricity turns a pump. When the electricity goes away, the pump quits. They'll run generators for a while, but when it becomes expensive, they'll turn generators off. Then you'll have to go and get in line and stand on the street corner with 7,000 people waiting for your 1 gallon of water. It's all coming. They've done told you it's coming. They've done a movie called When the Lights Go Out. They do these. They pay Dick Cheney thousands and hundreds of thousands of dollars to stand up there and warn you to be prepared. Now's the time to do it. And it's a place for everybody. So everybody in your neighborhood needs to have a task. Some of them will say, I don't want to be bothered. And they won't be bothered. Leave them alone. Lights go out. The water goes out. It starts to smell bad. They don't want to know what someone's doing about it. You say, well, that's your part of the job right there. Put them to work. Everybody has something they can do. But the first thing you need to do is to link your group of guys, like-minded guys, with the like-minded guys down the street. Start training together. So when you raise one of your right hand and point with two fingers, they know what that means. Otherwise, they'll think that's the place where you're supposed to go do number two. And they'll wait till you finish. When you thought they were going to send two guys down there to cover an access. These things need to be worked out today. And again, remember, every week we have this, Monday at 6:30. And it's up to, and if you come down here and listen, if you got some information to help with this, contact us. You can get a hold of us through RAM site, or you can come up here and just, when we start this off, just click on. I check your number to see if you got something to say, at which time You say, well, I'd like to do this. And I say, go for it. Because I don't know all the ways. I just know the ways I know. This is Paul Bearer. And we'd like to thank you for coming today. And we'd like to encourage each and every one of you. If you have a militia and you have a group, let somebody know. Join somebody. Tell somebody down the street that they're not alone. Then when they start coming down your street to go shopping in your refrigerator because Walmart's now burned the EBT cards and the debit cards that are used to buy the food aren't working because the banks are closed, there'll be somebody to help you so you get a couple of hours sleep a day. This is Wild Card Radio, and y'all have a very good week. So I'll bear up.